Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling, and I'm happy to be with you again this week as we continue our series on taxes and multifamily real estate investing. Our topic this week is your K-1. You may fully understand what a K-1 is. Maybe you receive one or several every year, possibly do your own taxes with hopefully the support of a tax advisor. And you may be on the other end of the spectrum and have never heard of a K-1 and are just thinking about potentially becoming an investor and participating in multifamily and want to understand more about what this document is and why it is so important to your ongoing tax management. Well, that's what we're going to go through this week. As always, if you have questions, shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com, marapoling.com. Don't forget to swing by the Learning Center. Lots of great content there. There's still time to register for our 2024 Outlook webinar. If you happen to be listening to this podcast after that date, then you can go to the Multifamily Real Estate channel at the Learning Center and watch the recording of the webinar. Okay, so let's get into it. By the way, my apologies if our audio is a little off today. I happen to be on the road while we're recording this, and the acoustics of the space that I'm in are not quite optimum, but we wanted to make sure we kept the content flowing. So thank you for your patience with all that. So what is a K-1? Do I need one? How do I know if I'm getting them or not? What do I do with it? How do I read it? Those are some of the things we're going to walk through. So let's start first with what is a K-1? And I'm going to answer that question by talking about your W-2. So every year in January, right, by the end of January, if you are an employee, you receive a W-2 from your employer, and it says you made this much money and we sent this much of it to the government for your Social Security and this much for Medicare, and we sent this much to the IRS, the U.S. Treasury, for them to hang on to as withholding, and we sent this much to your state if you happen to live in a state that has personal income tax. And that document is what you use to fill out your annual tax returns, your 1040, right? That's the form that we use. Well, a K-1 is your investment W-2. That's the best way to think about it. It's a document that you receive every year. Our target every year is to have them done by March 15th. I'm very happy to say that we do meet that deadline. Occasionally, we're able to get them out just a little bit earlier. There's a lot of work involved in preparing K-1s, especially for some of the more complex investments like our funds that we have structured. But that's when you receive those. And then you take that document and you use it to complete your personal tax return. Now, what is a K-1? Well, a K-1 is actually a form, a schedule that's part of the actual tax return filed for that investment. So if you are an investor in an LLC, for example, we'll talk about the Mara Poling Total Return Fund LLC. That's our original fund. If you're a member of that fund, then you receive a K-1. And the K-1 is part of the tax return that the fund files with the IRS. And remember how I said a 1040 is the tax return that each of us file as individuals? Well, this is a 1065. That's the tax return that an investment structured like this would file with the IRS. So when you look at your K-1, at the top, it says Schedule K, parentheses, Form 1065. So let's walk through what's on a K-1, and then we can talk a little bit more about what you do with it and why it's important. So the first part of a K-1 simply has information about the actual investment, the tax ID for that entity, the name. So again, in the example I'm using, Mara Poling Total Return Fund LLC, it has the address for us, and it has our tax ID. The next bit of information is about the partner, about you, about the investor. And this is going to have your tax ID, which if you're an individual or a couple, you'd have one of your social security numbers. If you're investing using an entity, maybe you have an LLC, or maybe you're investing through a self-directed IRA custodian, then it'd be those tax IDs that would be used. There's the name and address on the account. And then there's some information about how the, a little more information about that investor. Are you a domestic investor? Are you a foreign partner? And other things along those lines. As you go on down, you're going to see some percentages. This basically says how much are you being allocated of profits and losses and the capital that's been invested. And then you're going to see something that shows the liabilities, the debt, and how much of that debt is allocated to you. That's an important number because it ties into how your basis is calculated. So let's stop right there. How many of you have your eyes rolling in the back of your head now going, all right, I'm completely lost? That's fantastic. This is why we strongly recommend that everyone have a tax advisor, an experienced tax advisor, not someone that has been doing your 1040 maybe for several years. And when you say, hey, I'm going to get a K-1, they go, yeah, I've heard about those. Let me do a little bit of research. Now, that's probably going to be unlikely. I think it would be really something to find a tax advisor that isn't familiar with K-1s. If yours isn't, you need to find somebody else. You want someone that understands these documents and how they work. In particular, how your basis is calculated. Basis is ultimately one of the most key factors in terms of determining not only are you experiencing a taxable event, but what kind of taxable event is it? Meaning, is it an ordinary income event? Or is it a capital gains event? Then we get to the partner's capital account analysis, or box L. From our standpoint, this is the area of the K-1 where most members have questions. And it's really the area that helps summarize activity for the entire of the tax year. So I'm going to come back to that in a moment. You then go on down and you'll see some more information about the share of the current year income or loss, distributions, and so on. There's then a couple of pages that have some details and some information on them. And that rounds it out. Now, as I said, this is part of the 1065 tax return. Well, where's my 1065? I only got a K-1. Well, I can only tell you what we do, and that is we make available to all of our investors not only their K-1, but we make available the actual 1065 return. That may or may not be the case for your other investments that you have with other sponsors. We think it's helpful to see the entire tax return to understand better what you are being allocated. The entire return is not different than the K-1. It's simply on an aggregate basis for all investors. So, for example, if the 1065 calculated that there was ultimately a $1 million loss, and you own 10% of that investment, then your K-1 would show a $100,000 loss. It would be nice to be able to see the 1065 to say, How'd you get the $1 million loss? I want to understand that. And so we make that 1065 available. If you happen not to get that from your sponsor, I'm sure that's a request you could make of them. Okay, so now that we understand the layout of the form and where it comes from and all the rest of it, let's go back and take a look at this box L. And as I said, box L in our estimation is really the one to understand because it covers what I would call the puts and takes throughout the course of the year. I'll just walk down the items that are there. It starts with a beginning capital account balance. It then adds capital that's contributed during the year. It then allocates the current year either income or loss. It then has a space for other because you always need a space for other. And then there are withdrawals and distributions. Finally, you get to an ending capital account balance. So, in the very first year that you make an investment, your beginning capital account balance would be zero. And then you'd see a capital contributed during the year. Let's just, for example, say that you put $100,000 into one of our funds. Again, we'll use the total return fund as an example. So you'd start with a balance of zero, you'd add 100,000. You'd then be allocated some percentage of the net income or the net loss, depending upon what happened on the 1065 that year. Now, if you want to understand, well, how much do I get if I own 10% of the fund? Do I get 10% of the loss? Maybe. You need to read the actual documents associated with your investment to understand how taxes are allocated. Our funds, in particular, the Total Return Fund, are evergreen funds, meaning they run for a significant period of time. Members can add to their accounts, they can withdraw money from their accounts. And because of that, taxes are not allocated purely on a proportional basis. Some members have been in the fund earlier and they have more losses that they've received. So when we do have gains, those are the folks that actually get a little more of those gains, basically so that it all evens out in the end. But there's a methodology that you'll find. It's typically going to be described in the private placement memorandum and in the operating agreement. So take a look at those documents and again, ask questions. And if some of this is making your eyes roll back in your head, then don't worry about it. That's why you've got a tax advisor. So they can read and interpret this and help ask really good questions. So, whatever loss there is, let's say that there's a loss and that you're going to receive $20,000 of it. So, a zero balance to start with, we add 100,000. We now take 20,000 out, so we're down to 80. And then we have withdrawals and distributions. And let's say that during the year, there were distributions of $8,000. You didn't take any money out, but you received $8,000 in distributions. Well, then there'd be an $8,000 deduction there, leaving an ending capital account balance of $72,000. Now, this says ending capital account. Do not confuse that with your capital account that you have with your sponsor. In this example, someone put $100,000 in, they've received distributions, they've received a tax loss, they still have $100,000 in their capital contribution account with Mara Poling, with the sponsor. But their tax capital account balance is only $72,000. It's important to understand the distinction between those two. Every year, and we love getting these questions, but every year, and typically from someone that's starting out and learning more about how real estate operates, I will have someone call and look at their K1 and say, I thought you said we made money this year, and yet my K1 shows loss. And obviously, that's the difference between a tax loss and an operating loss. Remember, we get the benefit of depreciation, which is something we'll talk about here in one of the coming sessions. And that depreciation can often take operating profits and turn them into tax losses. Now, eventually, because this is all a deferral game, eventually that tax loss gets recovered. In the interim, though, we get the benefit of it. Now, that ending capital account balance of 72,000, that now becomes the beginning capital account balance in next year's K1. So if you've been an investor in an LLC for a few years, pull out your K1s and you can see in the very first year, you started with zero and then it moved to some ending balance. And then the next year picked up that ending balance. And you'll be able to see activity throughout the entirety of your investment. Now, at some point in time, you're going to leave that LLC. Maybe you decide to make a withdrawal or to leave, or maybe the LLC simply winds up its activity. However, it works. You not only receive distributions, but you get back your original investment and you get some gain on top of it. All of that is reported on that withdrawals and distributions line. There is no distinction. You'll look at that there. There is no distinction between what those dollars are. So it could be a dollar that's being sent to you as a distribution of operating profits. It could be a dollar that's being given to you that's returning your original capital investment. And it could be a dollar that's being given to you that represents the gain that your investment actually earned over the entirety of your investment. It simply is going to show up there. And when that occurs, that is most likely when you will experience the taxable event of gain. And again, this ties back to basis, which is why it's important that you have a good relationship with your tax advisor or CPA that does your taxes to help you understand all of that. When all is said and done, and this sounds extremely complicated, if you put $100,000 into an investment, and let's say over a number of years, you received $40,000 in distributions, and your $100,000 grew to be worth $150,000. This would show ultimately a $90,000 gain. So, all the movement back and forth, all the depreciation, all the losses, and then all the gains, and all of that activity netting out, you'll end up with the actual gain that you experienced. Now, along the way, you're getting the benefit of some of these losses that are generated, either in protecting the distributions that you're receiving or potentially being used to offset other income. Again, great conversation for you to have with your tax advisor. But that box, box L on the K1, is a great box to make sure you understand. So when you get your K1, and again, generally you're looking at these in March, when you get your K1, that's a great place to start. Having access to the 1065 is very helpful. Get them to your tax advisor so they can review them. And if you have questions, then you can go to your sponsor and ask. And as I said, we get questions every year from people simply trying to understand better. Now, there are some variants. If, as I said, if you invest, for example, using a self-directed IRA, then your K1, well, you'll receive a copy of it. Your K1 actually goes to your IRA custodian, and they create another tax document that they send to you so that you can file the IRA tax return, the 990T. If you're not familiar with the 990T, again, chat with your tax advisor about it. If your tax advisor is not familiar with it, And that is a possibility. There are tax advisors out there that do not have experience working with self-directed IRAs, in particular with investments that are on occasion subject to unrelated business taxable income. Then you'll want to find one that is comfortable with that. That could be an extra tax advisor, right? So if you have a CPA that you really enjoy and have worked with a long time, and they're just not familiar with UBIT, then you could get another CPA that is, and they could do the IRA tax return. They really are two separate returns from that standpoint. K-1s sound scary, they sound complicated. They're not. They're a wonderful tool. It's something that absolutely makes sure that you understand. It's a great way of being able to take those losses. And again, that's one of the things we love about real estate. Take those losses that occur in the early years of an investment and use them to shelter income. So, in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about depreciation. We're going to look at tax deferral and the possibility that it could become tax avoidance. And then we'll take a look at the overall benefits of multifamily real estate tax advantages and why that's beneficial to the whole of the community, we believe. All right. If you've got questions about this week's content or any of the sessions that you find on our podcast channel, shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. Take a look at the upcoming webinars. Please register. We'd love to have you join us. And please join us next week for another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing presented by Mara Poling.